Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse you.
All righty, welcome back to the second hour of The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. Our topic today is greater confinement. Now, you know, this is the second hour. It's the donate hour. All I'm going to say is if this concept or this program means that much to you, make a donation. Hit the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage and do it so that we can continue on. TalkTainmentRadio.com, we go where you go on the world's greatest radio. And, of course, you're in touch with the Compensatory Concept. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, along with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., and this is Radio the Way It Should Be Heard. If you'd like to call in, you can, 1-877-932-9766, or you can Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. Before we take the phone call, Mr. Fuller, one of our listeners loyally wrote in he gave me the song that you were citing, Blue Monday. It says, Blue Monday, how I hate Blue Monday. Got me working like a dog all day. Here comes Tuesday, oh, hard Tuesday. I'm so tired, I've got no time to play. Look out Wednesday, I'm beat to my bone. My girl calls, gotta tell her I'm not home. She knows Thursday is a hard working day. Till Friday, I get paid. Oh, Saturday morning, all my tired has gone away. Got my money and my honey, and we're out on the town to play. Sunday morning, my head is bad, but it's worth it all. It's worth it all the times I had, but I've got to get my rest for Monday. That was that song, Blue Monday.
Yeah, because Monday is a mess.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I got to get my rest because Mondays is a mess. And what he means is, hey, all for 5 days, I'm a slave, okay? But they let me have, you know, a couple of days off, and that's when I come alive. That's the only time I can really breathe.
Yeah.
That's the only time I can feel like I'm somebody over on the colored side of town, all right? But we're gonna really kick it, all right? But yeah. Then Mondays is a mess, because I'm right back in that again.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah, so that says it all right there. And it encapsulates, really, what the deal is. And it's all being orchestrated by the people who have the power to orchestrate this.
Yes, sir.
They have complete control of your time, including your rest time. All right?
All righty. Thank you, Roop Dog. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Mr. Fuller, my question is about the 4th of July holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And about how that pertains to us as prisoners of war. I propose that prisoners of war should not be celebrating independence, as we are not independent today, but I just wanted your thoughts on that.
Well, according to what I've written in the code book, black people are not qualified to celebrate anything. Prisoners are not in a celebratory condition. Black people are prisoners of war. The non-white people of the planet in the system of white supremacy were born in captivity. We're still born in captivity, all of us. everybody of color on the planet is born in captivity. Captivity to whom? To racist man and racist woman, the white supremacists of this planet. You're born inside of their prison because they dictate what you do in all nine areas of activity and what you do don't do. Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. They dictate this to all of the non-white people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to think, speak, and act according to what they allow you to do. So you're in prison. And so you're not, prisoners are not qualified. They can go ahead and do it, but you're not qualified to celebrate anything. But the white supremacists love for their prisoners to celebrate everything, including being in prison. Celebrate that.
Yeah.
Okay? Have fun. Get out there in the prison yard, and I mean, hey, just turn flips and sing and dance and play banjo. Slaves are always encouraged to
mm-hmm.
do this.
To act a fool.
Entertain yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Entertain yourselves until you drop.
Mm-hmm.
But just be back on that job come Monday.
Mm, yeah.
All right?
Alrighty. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, caller. Let's go to the Gmails. This is about passive aggressive behavior. Mr. Fuller, what would a codified response to people classified as non-white who are passive aggressive? In other words, people who say one thing and mean another. And if such persons are psychologically built that way, do I need to stay extra far away from them if staying away from them is the only solution?
If staying away from them is the only solution, yes. But you can go among any people. That's another thing. You can't, hide in a closet. You come out, and you should be able to go anywhere in the world and practice counter-racist codification in one form or another. Now, how can you do this and get away with doing this and keep doing it? Simply by just keeping the question open about what's constructive and what isn't. Everywhere you go, every day, I don't care where you are, if someone criticizes you, you say, okay, well, I want to do the constructive thing. So now here's a list of constructive things, because you're supposed to be always in a constructive mode,
mm-hmm.
always.
Mm-hmm.
Never in a non-constructive mode. I don't care what it's about, where you are on the planet. You just raise that question to people who might have some criticism of what you're saying or what you're doing. And you say, well, okay, well, I don't want to do anything that I shouldn't be doing. Nobody should. Nobody on the planet should be doing anything or saying anything that they shouldn't do or say, not for one minute. And I want to be among the people who are always doing the thing that should be done in every circumstance. So you just simply say, now, here are the list of things that I am trying to do, all right, because I'm trying to produce justice always, and that is doing what? Guaranteeing that no person is mistreated, and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. Now, if anybody is opposed to that, then you raise a question. Let him or her stand up and say so, and give your reasons why. Why are you against me trying to guarantee that no person is mistreated? And why are you against me trying to guarantee that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help?
Yeah, you're asking questions still.
Yes, you just put it in the form of a question. And I found that everywhere I go, when I put things in the form of a question like that, everybody goes silent. Why? Because the conclusion I came to. How are you going to challenge that and sound like you're making sense? See what I mean? See, stay away from statements. Just raise questions.
Mm-hmm.
When people criticize you, don't start making statements, and certainly don't start criticizing them, even if you're criticizing them for criticizing you. Don't go that way.
Yes.
That enhances the argument.
Mm-hmm.
You're not looking for an argument.
Yeah,
you're right. Looking for a constructive conversation. And what's the difference? An argument is designed to win arguments. But a constructive conversation is designed to come up with constructive results.
Yeah, looking for answers.
Meaning the solution to a problem.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Was
that
it,
caller? You do this by asking questions.
Mm-hmm. Was that it, caller? Is this
Hello?
Is this a new caller? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. Okay, caller, I'm sorry I got you confused. Go ahead with your question for Mr. Fuller.
Can I be heard?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay, good. Yeah, I have a couple questions for you, if you don't mind. Mr. Fuller, I wanted to ask you, could you give an example again, please, of how you go about producing justice? Say you got a room full of people. How do you go about producing justice in that room? I know in the past I've heard you mention an example. I was hoping you wouldn't mind mentioning one again. Say, for example, you know, I'm in a room and there's 7-8 other people in the room and we're sitting and we want to produce justice. What is the first step?
Well, for one thing, you ask, what are we here for?
Okay.
That's the first thing. If people are assembled in a room, what are you here for? I don't care what kind of room it is and what the people came there for. Everybody should be very clear of what they're there for.
Yes, sir.
And everybody who leaves there is supposed to leave there with something better than what they came in with.
Okay.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Okay.
I mean, you can first raise that point. What are we here for? And let everybody just stand up and answer. Don't help people with the answer.
Right.
Because everybody knows what they're there for. All right? So you just simply say, okay, we're all here. I know why I'm here. You should know why you're there. If you are there, you should know why you are there. And
no.
You came for something. It's something that you want
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
by coming among these other people.
Mm-hmm.
So you just simply say, what are we here for? What are we here for?
Okay.
And you don't move to the second question before the first question is answered thoroughly and accurately.
Okay.
And with understanding by everybody who's there. See, because if you don't know what you're there for, everybody needs to disband right now. Everybody needs to just walk out the door. I mean, because people do that. People disassemble sometimes because people, you know, and everybody's looking around waiting on somebody to do something or say something, some kind of miracle to happen. Too often that happens.
Yes, sir.
And nobody is asking the simple question, what are we here for? That's question number one. And once you ask that question, then after we leave here, did we get what we came after?
Okay.
Otherwise, what's the point in assembling for any reason?
Mm-hmm.
And any two people getting together, you know?
Okay.
Why am I sitting here talking to you? All right? Just two people.
Mm-hmm.
And why are you talking to me? About what? In order to accomplish what?
Yes,
just
sir.
Two people talking. Not to say anything about a room full of people or a stadium full of people. What are we here for?
Mm-hmm.
You go to a ball game, everybody kind of understands we're here mm-hmm. to see what? People play ball. That's why we're here. Duh.
Yeah. What's your second question, ma'am?
Not complicated at all.
What's your second question, ma'am?
Oh, okay, Mr. Bob. Yeah, I was trying to listen to Mr. Fuller there. Okay, the second, Mr. Fuller, were you done answering that question? Because I do have.
Well, no, I'm not done answering the question until the question is answered.
Yes, sir. I'd like to hear the
answer. Do you understand the answer to the question?
Yes, sir.
Because the question was, when you assemble with people.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to first have focus, F-O-C-U-S. Focus on what? On what mm-hmm. you are there for. I mean, and whomever the speakers are said, now, we are the here, assembled here, to come away from here with something that we didn't have before we got here and be able to specify exactly what that something is. Otherwise, you ain't got no business assembling in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. Okay.
Okay, now, wow. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead, Bam. Go ahead.
Mr. Fuller, can you give, if you don't mind, another an example of how is it that the system of white supremacy controls the thought, speech, or action of the non-white people? Can you give an example of how they control the thought? How do they control our thought? How do they put us in mental confinement? Can you speak to that, please?
In everything that we do, in all nine areas of activity. And what are the nine areas of activity? Economics, how you use your time and energy. How do black people, for the most part, use their time and energy when the white supremacists are not making us do something in order to eat and sleep somewhat comfortably? How do we usually use our time and energy when we have what we call a day off, all right, or hours off, or some minutes to ourselves, as you might say? Just look at what we do. Look at what most black people in the Northwestern Hemisphere do, and I think in many parts of the world, when they have what you call leisure time, time to yourself, time to do a limited number of things that you're allowed to do in the prison yard of the system of white supremacy. What we do is show off to each other. And how do the white supremacists control that? Simply by having our minds set in doing just that. We look forward all of our days, everything that we do, if we stop and think about it and tell the truth about it. What black people in the Northwestern Hemisphere do, as far back as I can remember, is looking forward to showing off to other black people. We're going to buy something to show off. We're all in the department stores and whatnot. I mean, everything from a fancy department store, I mean, where they have real fancy clothes and jewelry and whatever. And, you know, and what the latest styles are and whatnot. What are you getting that for? What are you knocking yourself out, you know, making all those payments for? To show off. To show off to whom? To stand in the mirror all day and look at yourself? No. You want to show off. You want to strut around in front of somebody. Who is this somebody you want to strut around in front of? Tell the truth now. It is other people that look like you, because white people are not paying no attention to you at all anyway. They don't even want to see you. Get the heck out of here. I don't even want to see you. Except when I call you to do some work for me. And other than that, bye. And what you got on and what you're driving and all like that means absolutely nothing to me. Just get out of my sight. That's the white supremacist philosophy, okay? Mm-hmm. Until I call you to do something for me. Now you can come around, okay? So what does that leave non-white people to do? Strut around showing off to each other. And if you can't find something to buy to show off, or you can't, you know, stand in the middle of the sidewalk, and show off by jumping up and down and turning flips, all right, then you do something like what? Young black people spend a lot of time doing what? Riding around shooting guns. Now, you might not look at that as showing off, but that's exactly what it is. If you tell the truth, if you will tell the truth to them, and they'll tell the truth to themselves, they're saying, this is mostly what that's about. What is gangs about? Showing off. Showing off to whom? To other people that look like you that is in the other gang. That's it. And you show off by doing what? By shooting guns at them. Hey, there you go. He ain't wearing the colors. Shoot him. and then he shoot back at me, I shoot back at him. But what is it all about? What are you getting out of it? Since every time you fire a bullet, it ain't like somebody's paying you. It ain't like you're going to get a mansion or something. It ain't like you're going to do 2 or 3 years of this and then retire somewhere in some chateau in France. So what are you doing it for? Showing off. Dismal, pitiful, showing off. Because everything that black people do that's connected with that little pitiful showing off, our little parties and whatnot, our barbecues, showing off, showing off, showing off, showing off. And when you fall down exhausted from showing off, what have you got in return for your showing off? Absolutely nothing but a cocaine high. When I say cocaine high, even if you're not on drugs, showing off is a drug because there's no return on your investment. None. You just think that it is. Huh. And we got to stop doing it. Uh-huh. The code says stop doing anything to show off. Don't show off to nobody because you ain't got no, you ain't qualified to show off.
Okay. All righty. All right. Is that it, ma'am?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Mr. Fuller. Thank
okay.
you, Mr. Bobby.
All righty. Let me go ahead on here because I am way over the break, but I wanted to give Mr. Fuller a opportunity to answer the question. But please bear in mind that we are under time constraints, and there's certain things that we have to do. And I purposely do not mean to cut Mr. Fuller off in answering the question, but we have to do things at certain times. So no offense to
Absolutely.
You. No offense to you, Mr. Fuller. No offense to you, the callers, because your calls are important.
No.
But I have to do certain things. And this is one of the things I have to do here, which is to do this. TalkTainmentRadio.com is a 24-hour, no-charge worldwide broadcasting facility with host delivering on various topics such as news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and politics. Now, here's three that I'm going to share with you. Conversation with Don Corina, The Quay Morgan Hill Show, and Stairway to Heaven. Now, all these shows are exclusive to TalkTainmentRadio.com, and all you have to do is go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage to give a listen to the shows, and we wish that you really would do that. Give a sample to them and see if you like it or don't like it, and then that way you can form an opinion on that. Remember, they are exclusive to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to the homepage, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby, the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., and our topic today is greater confinement, and we are trying or efforting to answer, get as many questions in as we can. By the way, next week, I know I personally don't celebrate the 4th of July, but anyway, next week, being that the 4th is next week, there will be no live show, but there will be a previous show that Mr. Fuller and I have done. So do not call in because I won't be here. I don't know what Mr. Fuller is going to be doing, but I won't be here, so we're not going to have a live show. But the following week, we will have a live show. Okay, Mr. Fuller, I'm going to Mario, here it is. It says, Mr. Fuller, could you please ask Mr. Fuller, I separated from my daughter's mother about 7 years ago, and we still have conflicts. When I communicate with her, I try to stay in the question mode, but I find it difficult because of the yelling, insults, and name-calling. Mr. Fuller, what is your advice on minimizing conflict in this situation, given that some contact is required because we have a child together?
Make every contact constructive. And the minute that is not constructive, you break contact until you learn how to make every contact constructive. That's the simple formula. There's no point in making contact with anybody anywhere on the planet if the result is not going to be something constructive. That's code. I mean, now, that may sound oversimplistic, but that's it. You minimize conflict by doing what? Minimizing all non-constructive contact. You cannot have conflict with someone that you are not in contact with. Now, if the result is going to always be non-constructive, shouting matches, name-calling, what's the point? Why just keep doing that? It's not working. You don't do anything that doesn't work. You don't keep at something that doesn't work. Once you see it's not working, you just back off. That's all. And you say, well, I have to have some kind of contact, and, you know, after all, that is my daughter. No, no, no. Not if it's going to bring about more conflict than you had before you made the contact. Every contact is supposed to be constructive that you make with everybody on this planet for the rest of your existence. Otherwise, you avoid that contact. You avoid anyone who brings about conflict.
Mm-hmm.
That's the codified formula. That's rock solid. Now, you can re-engage at another point and see, well, time has passed. Maybe the mental condition has changed. Maybe I can make contact now. So you'll make contact.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute the conflict starts, the code says, the exact words you use, I will talk to you at some other time. That's in the code book. That's what you tell anybody that looks like it's head toward conflict. You say, I will talk to you at some other time. Now, you didn't say you'll never talk to him again. What you're saying now is not the time. I will talk to you at some other time.
Mm.
At some other time might be 2 days later, might be 2 hours later, might be 10 years later. But as long as you're getting conflict, break contact. That's it. That sounds harsh. It might sound impractical. But if you're going to have conflict with someone, every time you make contact with them, that is non-constructive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
We need some absolutes here.
Okay.
Codification is about absolutes. The white supremacists understand absolutes.
Okay. Mr. Fuller, it does sound like, at least by the tenor of the question, that this person is trying to make contact with, in this case, the child's mother, but it appears that every time that he tries to do that, then he's belligerently taunted, fussed at, yelled at, maybe even cursed at, where the contact is minimal. And if he walks away from that without seeing his daughter, what does that produce?
Well, you can't get these relationships the way they ought to be. See, that's another thing that black people have to understand. They say, black people told me for years, because I was that way at one time. For a long time, I was that way.
Really?
Not wanting to be bothered with the race issue.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. And people say to me now, you know, many people, and I expect that. I don't need to be bothered with all this race mess. I got personal stuff to deal with. See, but your personal stuff is dominated by the racial mess.
Okay.
That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no way to run away from it.
Okay.
So none of your personal affairs are going to be anywhere close to the way that they ought to be if you're black.
Okay.
I mean, your relationship, you think you're going to have some girlfriend or boyfriend or a husband, a wife, and that the white supremacists mm-hmm. are not going to dictate to you how mm-hmm. all of that's going to go down. Okay. You don't know it.
Okay.
But they are controlling all of your affairs.
Okay. Pardon me, Mr. Fuller. I hate to do this, but the music is going and they're getting me here. So excuse me, and excuse me to the caller.
No problem.
Okay. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We're going to have Mr. Fuller pick up right where he left off at in answering that question concerning that conflict. All that and more on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Thank you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com.
is proud to present the compensatory concept. It is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. TalkTainmentRadio.com is able to carry the first hour. However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. Go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at lifeskillshs.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin' online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin' products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin' candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
Stand by for an important announcement for renters and investors.
You have probably heard about this bad economy and high foreclosure rate. I'm here to bring you hope. Every foreclosed property is a blessing or a deal for a new buyer or investor. These properties are selling every day all over Central Ohio for several reasons. They are equity rich, worth tens of thousands of dollars above their price. There is down payment money available and remodeling funds if needed. Don't let the doom and gloom news keep you from your dream of home ownership. Call Linco Realty today at 865-9614. That's 865-9614. Call now. Always remember, these times, like all times, are good times if we but know what to do with them. They also have programs for investors who want to get off the couch and run with the big dogs. Call Linco today at 865-9614 or log on to repohomeslist.com.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Looking for something special for your club or group? Take a trip. Cruise Planners will help you plan the event of a lifetime. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, Bermuda to Las Vegas to Hawaii, with special offers that make it affordable and exciting. Click on to www.greatgetawaytrip.com for great deals or call today at 614-707-SHIP. That's 614-707-7447.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence Magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby, the co-host on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. 1-877-932-9766 is the number that you can call to get into the show. We are speaking about greater confinement. Before I have Mr. Fuller finish his question or his answer on avoiding contact and conflict, I just want to say that the name of that publication or that you can look at on the internet is the Compensatory Emancipation Act. Many have wrote in about that. Find out where that is. You can Google that and find out what all that is about. To Jane Lance, now this next person, I don't know if it's a real person or not. The usual suspects are in place, so I'm not going to mention what your last name is, but I'm going to say Seymour, and you know who you are. I will ask that question. I have to admit I'm suspect of it, but we have to be honest. So Mr. Fuller says, you know, be truthful. So I'm going to ask your question, but I've seen that name before, and it troubles me. But anyway, I'm going to ask your question. Not now, but I will ask your question. ITEST, I will get to your question, too. And Mario, the second part of your question I may have to get to on another show, as these other ones. But Jane and Seymour, and you know who you are, and ITEST, I will try to get to your question. Caller, I will get to you after Mr. Fuller finishes his avoiding conflict. Go ahead, Mr. Fuller.
Yes. Minimize conflict by minimizing all unnecessary or non-constructive contact. Now, when it comes to black males and black females in the northwestern hemisphere, in the system of white supremacy, you will never be able to get it the way it ought to be. Now, everybody has to understand this. We're in a prison system. So actually, all of our so-called relationships will be nowhere near what they ought to be because we are not in circumstances that should prevail.
Okay.
The system of racism will not allow it. Now, a lot of people say, oh, that ain't true and all like that. Well, go ahead and do what you're going to do. But the system of racism will not allow it to be the way it should be. Now, you can get it to be workable, but it's going to have a lot of defects. All relationships between black males and black females are full of flaws, riddled with flaws. That's going to be permanent. And it's getting worse.
Mm.
Look forward to that. It's going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the white supremacists have decided that they're going to set it up so it will get worse.
Okay.
So the black females and black males will not be able to get along with each other in harmony in the system of white supremacy.
Okay.
That's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
That is not. And if for those who think that it can happen or that you can make it happen, You're faking it. Okay. There's a lot of things you just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You're hiding from yourself. Mm-hmm. You're hiding the truth.
Yes.
Somebody is hiding the truth.
Okay.
You can guarantee that, because it's not set up to have the harmony that you want. The black females, their minds are set to go one way, and the black man, male man, is set to go another way. Set by whom? By racist man and racist woman. But we're not even aware of that. And we are not on the same page. And we're not going to be on the same page as long as we're in the prison system called the system of white supremacy. That's a guarantee.
Guarantee.
You're going to have these conflicts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right? And you can make it work somewhat, have it workable, that's all, nowhere near what it ought to be.
Okay.
But you can have some type of relationship, but you got to understand it's going to be loaded with poison.
Yes.
Loaded with poison. Mm-hmm. All of our relationships are going to be loaded with poison.
Yes, sir.
Because the white supremacists have made us loaded with poison.
Okay. And in relation to celebrations, should non-white people celebrate birthdays, particularly children's birthdays, since we should not be celebrating anything?
Well, you can start off doing that, but then you can curtail it as early as you possibly can so children will understand.
Okay.
Because you have to do it at a point. Now, what age? I'm not setting an age because I don't know. It depends on the level of understanding that the child has. But I know in a practical sense, and I've seen it happen, that you just wean them off. It's, you know, just like you wean people away from anything.
Okay.
By having them understand what you're doing.
Okay.
See, that's the first thing. And the earlier, the better. And you just say that, well, and give the reasons. Always give a reason why you're doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And let the person, little by little, see your reasoning. This is how everything has got to be done, ultimately, including everything between black people and white people.
Yes.
In general.
Mm-hmm.
We got to come to some logical conclusion about the best way for our arrangements to be.
Well, you know, Mr. Okay. Fuller, like you said last week, you said tell the truth.
Yes, just tell the truth. Everybody tell the truth. Every white person. See, some black people now, and this is terrible what is happening now. Some black people wants to silence white people from telling black people what they really think. You don't ever shut a person off from telling you what they really think. Let them tell you what they are really thinking every minute of the day, whatever they think about you or anything else. The more a person tells is honest with you, the better. And that's in any so-called interaction between people. In personal relationships or so-called impersonal relationships or in societies. Everybody, tell everybody the truth.
Okay.
You've got to start with the truth. When people start being hypocrites and start lying and everybody's walking around smiling when inwardly everybody's frowning, that's a terrible situation.
Hmm.
I mean, if you got a gripe or whatever they want to call it, I mean, be able to express it and be able to give your reasons for having it, all right? By talking about it, that's the way you solve what? All problems.
Hmm.
Through the process of questions and answers. Mm-hmm.
Didn't there used to be a program called To Tell the Truth a long time ago?
Yes, there's all kinds of programs like that, even today.
Yeah.
Like truth or consequence and all of that.
Okay.
But everybody talks about truth, but most people run from it.
They have run from it. Okay.
Yeah, right. When, depends on what the truth is.
Yeah. All righty. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Okay, Mr. Fuller, here's the question. Is constructive behavior available to black people? Now, before you answer that, I personally feel that constructive behavior is available to black people because you come on the radio for years telling us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Like, if you don't have anything positive to say, don't say anything to our interactions with each other. So you come on the radio all the time telling us, giving us examples of what constructive behavior is. So here's the question. If constructive behavior is available to black people, then why don't we use it?
Because we have been taught to worship everything that's non-constructive. That's one of the first things you do with people when you want to make them subject. You have them to, and I have this in the textbook, how did I phrase it? I'm trying to remember how I did phrase it. We glorify, well, these are not the exact words, but it's in there several times I say it in different ways. But black people are taught to glorify everything that is stupid and to run from everything that is serious.
Wow.
We don't want to deal with nothing that's serious and constructive. If it's constructive, we consider anything constructive as being, that's not no fun. See, anything that's constructive ain't fun. Fun is doing something that is absolutely non-constructive. And we have been trained that way. Trained by whom? By the usual suspects, the white supremacists. We wasn't born that way. But we gravitate toward any kind of thing. If it's silly, call the black people. All right, we're fixing to do something that's absolutely silly now. All right? So, hey, any black people around, let them know it's silly time. And so if it's totally silly, totally non-constructive, going to be a disaster, black people, we go to it just like bees to honey. We're trained that way. We're not naturally that way. But anything that sounds like it might be a little bit constructive, oh, that's boring. Oh, no. It's all right for somebody that wants to do that, but I don't want no part of that. It ain't no fun. But anything that's total nonsense and going to lead to a disaster, we want to be every part of it that we can possibly be. Now, why is that? We've been trained that way, that's why. All we have to do is break training. Say, wait a minute, where did I get this nonsense from? When did I start thinking that way? Hanging out with my homies? Well, why did my homies think that way? All right. It had an origin somewhere, and it's being passed down through the generations.
Caller, please turn your radio down, please. Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Fuller.
And that's all that it is. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is just break training. That's it. Get on another wavelength, and that wavelength is, hey, if it's not constructive, I don't want to be nowhere around it.
Mm.
Suppose that's a decision that we can make. And we don't have to train ourselves to do it. Just start doing it. Just start right this minute. If it's not constructive, don't call me. Mm. Don't contact me. When you think of something constructive to do or say, let me know immediately. I want to be a part of everything that has constructive value.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's going to work for me and not against me, not only now, but in the future. I want to be a part of that. Everything is going to work for me. That's going to make me have a healthy mind and body. I mean, don't bring me no drugs or none of that other stuff. I don't know. Don't offer me at Christmas time no alcohol or none of that. I don't want to be a part of anything that is non-constructive, folks.
Yes.
From now on, I don't care how non-constructive you have been up to this very minute, but right this minute, every non-white person on the planet, it's not difficult. You just make that decision. I'm not doing non-constructive stuff no more.
Mm.
Starting right now.
Okay.
That student sitting right there in the classroom would not. Say, that foolishness that I've been doing over there at the frat house or the sorority house and all that, I'm not doing no more. That hazing and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be a part of none of that foolishness. Mm. That's a bunch of stupid stuff. I mean, and black people shouldn't be known to be anywhere near around that kind of stuff.
Yes, sir.
And I just happen to think of sororities and fraternities. That tradition of hazing, black people say, oh, no, the white supremacists might do that over there in that frat house. When we welcome somebody into our sorority or our fraternity, we don't do anything that's vile.
Mm.
don't do anything that's non-constructive. We don't have any initiation period where we do horrible things to people or even talk in a horrible way to them. We don't do none of that. I mean, we don't do none of that stuff like they might do in Annapolis in the military and whatnot. I mean, talk harshly to people. No, we are polite in this fraternity. We are always polite. We are ultra courteous in this sorority.
Yes.
We are ultimate. I mean, we go to the ultimate. We go out of our way. I mean, and never a discouraging word.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of that hazing and whatnot. No, we don't do any of that.
Okay.
No.
All right, now, Mr. Fuller, I have 9 minutes to go in the show, and I have a caller. But we have not talked about your book, so could you briefly just mention something about your book so I may get this last caller in?
You can get the book by going to producejustice.com, producejustice.com. And what will come up on the screen is a brief description of a expanded revised edition of the original 1984 edition of the textbook workbook for thought, speech, and or action for victims of white supremacy. Racism is white supremacy. White supremacy is racism. And all this is explained in the book. And not only explained, but it tells you what you as an individual, it makes suggestions, it's not dictatorial, it makes suggestions that you can think about and act on if it makes sense to you about what you can do to make things better for yourself, first of all, in this system of racism on a daily basis and by influencing others to do the most constructive thing in all areas of activity on a daily basis, wherever you happen to be on the planet. Wherever you happen to be, no certain place, no certain time, you start right now to doing the most constructive thing that can be done under the circumstances that you are under. The most constructive things in what? In everything that you do.
Okay.
In everything that you say. And that's what the book is about. You can get it by going to producejustice.com.
Okay.
That's producejustice.com.
Okay.
Producejustice.com.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fuller, as I've tried to clean everything out so we can get this last caller in. Caller, the floor is yours. You may speak with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Mr. Fuller, I wanted to ask you, could you explain the differences between blatant racism years and years ago versus hidden racism today? I was watching a video from the 70s, and it showed how in a white neighborhood, Black people were starting to move in, and people were yelling the N-word, and they were just being mean. Versus today, that's still going on, but people are more, you know, smiling and pretending. Thank you.
Yes, the white supremacy goes through 4 stages, and sometimes they go back to one of the four. They'll be in the 4th stage, and they revert back to the 2nd stage or the 3rd stage, the characteristics thereof. And it's listed in the textbook for victims of racism that you can get by going to producejustice.com. The 4 stages. First stage is what? Establishment. White supremacy started somewhere. I don't know when, where. Some people say 400 years ago. Some people say 600 years. Some people say as far back as 2,000 to 6,000 years. I say I don't know. Why do I say that? Because I don't know. But I do know that it's here now. The system of white supremacy is the most powerful political and religious force among the people of the planet here in 2019. All right? So it went through 4 stages. establishment means that's stage one. It got started. And then stage two is maintenance. You went from establishment, getting it started, to maintaining it. Just like you put together a vehicle or put together a recipe. I mean, you get all your ingredients together. That's getting it started. Then you maintain it. You start doing something with the ingredients that you have. You're making a car. So now you're maintaining that car. You got the car all together. You got to maintain it. You send it to the repair shop. You got oil, put oil in it. You got to change the oil and all that. So the white supremacist system works the same way. All right. So they maintained it, and then they expanded, meaning they say, well, hey, it's running really smooth, but let's make some improvements. So just like you do with a house or a car and whatnot, they made improvements in what they had started, the system of white supremacy. So they made improvements in the economic system, how they use their time and energy, their educational system, how they teach white people one thing, teach black people something else, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is the improvement part, the maintenance part. But the expanded part is you take in more people. That's the third stage. You expand it, meaning, and there's more people on the planet now than there was, say, 10,000 years ago, or 6,000 years ago, or even 400 years ago. It's more people now on the planet than there was then. So most of these people are people of color. So you're taking these people into your prison system. More prisoners are coming in into your prison system. So you are expanding your prison system all the time. Okay? Then the fourth stage is the refinement stage. That's the finishing touches. Like you put another coat of paint or a better quality of ornaments or gadgets in your vehicle or whatever. And that's what the white supremacists do, yes, like sir. You just said in the illustration. Now they welcome you. See, that's the refined white supremacy.
Yes.
Yes, they come and shake your hand and say, you know, how are you? I mean, you know, well, you moved into the neighborhood, and we just thought we'd have a welcoming committee.
Yeah.
So we are over here. The first thing we want you to do, we want to present to you, is a cake. All right?
Don't eat it.
Right. Well, you know, the cake will be good. I mean, they ain't going to poison you. You just got there.
Okay.
The poison is going to come later. Okay?
Okay.
When they have that orgy there, you know.
I'm out.
They want you, and they want you to be the center of attention at the orgy. That's the way they do that.
Okay.
See, oh, yeah. They invite you over when they get ready to have that wife swapping party.
Oh, I'm out of that.
Oh, yeah. And they want the black people to be the center of it.
Yeah.
Okay, because we know how to do everything that's trashy.
Yeah.
All right? You've got three things in the white supremacist system in interactions with black people, and that is what? The three T's.
Trashy.
Tacky.
Tacky.
Tacky. It don't get no better than tacky. If they try to improve on the tackiness, which way is it going? To the second T. It's going to get trashy.
Trashy and then terroristic.
If you don't believe it, test it. It starts off tacky. To start with, it's not going to get no better than tacky.
Okay.
It'll never be the way it ought to be.
Okay.
But it's going to be tacky. All right? Now, when they try to improve on the tackiness, then you're going to move to the second T, which is trashy.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And the black people, you know, we know trash, okay? And they're going to give us plenty of that. They'll dump that on you in the refinement stage.
Yes.
Okay? It's got to be trashy if black people are going to be involved. Now, if you try to improve on the trashiness, it ain't one way for it to go. Either back to tacky, or two ways. Either back to tacky, or you go into the third T, which is what? Terroristic.
Okay. Here comes.
Black people even do this among ourselves.
Okay, here comes the music, so you know what that means.
All right.
All righty. Hey, special shout out to my brother in South Africa. He finally gave me the correct pronunciation. C. Par Parlo. Thank you. Or Per Perlo. C. Per Perlo. Thank you. Callers from my heart. Thank you for all of your calls. Mr. Fuller, thank you. And we'll see you in 2 weeks because next week, you know, we got to do that thing. Thanks for listening.
Yes, sir. The shutdown.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. Heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why. One should always ask it.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.